C1G.
Number 12A.
Well, we go on in considering the word at the point of life as soul. We go into the word as Christianity. As I have said, Christianity is the demonstration, the multiplication of the idea and dominion over the idea. Therefore, we find from that point on of life as soul, suddenly the multiplication of the idea. It's there where God said, I never know anything by heart, thank God. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let fowls multiply in the earth. And from that point on, the creative ability that is shown as the word, the main tone of the word, is shown that that creative ability is the multiplication of being, which gives us the demonstration of the idea and the dominion of the idea. And that goes on over the tone of truth. There still is that multiplication, all the animals, then man, first as the individual man, then generic man, and at the point of generic man with truth as principle, that whole multiplying sense ends. You have here that the tone of word as Christianity flows from life as soul to truth as principle, and then we come again to a break. You remember we said with truth as principle we had the last creative act. Let us make men and let them be male and female. And he created them male and female. And from that point on there is no more a creative act. Then we really feel creation has come to an end, and therefore we come into being, so that the creative ability now melts to the point of being what one is into being. From that point on, as I said, God said, well, he blessed them, and so from that point on, as I said, there is no more creative activity. It was just shown that man is subject to his creator and alone to his creator, and therefore is the Lord over heaven and earth, and that constitutes the brotherhood of man. So it wasn't the creative sin, and let there be brotherhood, let there be assistant brotherhood. Just shows that if you take in the whole of creation up to that point, that everything in being is related to each other and helps each other and supports each other and accepts each other and affirms each other and welcomes each other, so that there is just one great compound idea. And then it goes to truth as love, where we had the womanhood, where everything was perfect, that infinite self-containment. See, there is a wonderful sense where she speaks about the spiritual creation. Again, I must show you the exact text, where she says, it is a spiritual creation, still the word, the creative word, but, and that it was an outgrowth, again the word, the creative word, an emanation, again the word. Can you see, still stressing the word, but now how, from the point of view of science, namely his infinite self-containment, no creation. That point he wants to show that really the creative ability is that at the point of science, where we see facts had never had to be created, Nobody had to create that 2 and 2 is 4. Nobody had to create that 5 times 5 is 25. We had to learn it. And that where we, while we were learning it, we had a sense of a creative activity going on. We were feeling that we were creative, but actually 5 times 5 was always 25. It was always contained in mathematics. And so here it is actually his infinite self-containment. It's already there. Science always shows the beingness of everything. Because the science only takes facts and relates these facts. It never creates facts. It analyzes facts and takes those facts and synthesizes facts, but facts are always facts. So even the seventh day, naturally, you have a terrific sense that everything is complete, everything is finished, so the heaven and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them, and God rested on that day, and gives you always a sense that the universe is at the point of isness, that it is a full universe, but that it is was always what it was. So it gives a sense of the whole and infinite. So if you take just these four big concepts that you have here in the study material, you can see what the word, the creative word, actually wants to accomplish. The creative word just says, I'm the primal creativity. I'm mind, spirit, soul. That's the basis of my creativity. So presents first, where does the word? Primal creativity. Then it goes on to the word as the Christ and shows that it has abundant translation from the Creator to his creation. Then in Christianity the word says that there is infinite multiplication in that creation, infinite dominion in that creation. You can prove it, you can multiply it, you can apply it infinitely, endlessly, and you can apply it with power and authority. You have dominion over it. But then comes always a last point, the word as science, which says, but you know, all that what you have been considering as creation is actually being, has always been, has never we had to be brought into the world, into existence. Those facts were always. They are not creative, actually. That's word as science. And if we consider now quickly on the matrix, see what you have there, you can see that actually the way John Dolly has subdivided the word order into the category of the word Christ, Christianity and science, that he had found through his spiritual sense the very same thing as the days of creation show. You see what he has done. When you look at the synonymous term in that word category here on the matrix, you see that actually the word order, as we know from the definition of God, flows through it, because it starts with mind, spirit, soul. And there is a link, as in every chain of scientific being, there is a link where soul and where within soul there is that link of the Christ. Why? Because what does soul say? It not only says, I am the true identity of being, but I also identify everything with God, with principle. It has those two aspects. And those two aspects, as you have seen in the third day, are there. That first you have soul here as the dry land, and then you have soul again, a soul as soul, where you have the identity, where everything acts according to its principle. And you bind it up to principle, And that principle always brings forth abundant ideas, life. Then, so you had mind, spirit, soul, principle, life. And in life there are two tones, namely that life brings forth ideas, exalted ideas that are above the earth, that have spiritual qualities, that live in the universe of ideas. But you also have, as a second, life in Christianity, life as multiplication and dominion. So you have life and truth, truth the dominion of truth. Then the last one is that it goes up to life, but catching on at life and truth. Why? Because the sixth day, you have seen, has the break right there at the point of truth as life. So from the point of view of truth as life, where nothing has been created anymore, you begin to see, oh yes, naturally, the beingness of being is always life, truth, and love, and not just love. The beingness of being is naturally life that is, life. Wait, what is it? It is factual, truth. And what is it? It is fulfilled, love. So we can only have the word as science, which must show the word in its beingness. And that beingness, naturally, is always brought out through God's nature as life, truth, and love. So, you begin to understand from this matrix here that underlying those synonymous terms are actually just a simple word order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, yes, life, truth, and love. That's the rhythm in it. And you can see how thrilled John Dolby must have been at the point when, after a few years, he began to see that actually the Bible brings out that word sense, the logos sense, the creative word, in its fourfold aspect, just the way he spiritually calculated it. He weighed it spiritually over a long period, over 1 or 2 years. He had all those various attempts how to bring out that matrix. And once he had brought it out, really, then he began to find the proofs in the Bible. This is only one proof of many proofs that he found in the Bible that the whole matrix is right. But just as much as that. Well, naturally one has to think about these things over a long period. This is not something that one just can take up because I talk about it for half an hour and then feel now I got it. It's something to sit back. All metaphysical insight must be digested in peace, with patience. We cannot take heaven by storm. Just doesn't work. We only wreck our neck, that's all. We break our neck. So go home and think about it. Tenderly, lovingly, with a great sense of admiration, a great sense of worship, the facts of being, and little by little these facts will become tangible to your consciousness. You get the feel of it, you get the touch of it, you get the warmth of it, you get the promise of it, and you get the whole awe that's of it that is necessary to love it. I go to the next subject. On the study material, we have another subject. It reads very easily, just one short line, but it is not so easy as that. The irregular number of subtones in the days of creation. You may have noticed while we were going through the days of creation that the days of creation had differing numbers of subtones. Mind had three subtones, you remember, minus mind, minus spirit, minus soul. Second day had three subtones. But when we came to soul, it had five subtones. Why suddenly five? Why didn't have the first day of creation five? Why not seven? You come to the fourth day of creation with five subtones. Why five? You come to life, the fifth day of creation, only four subtones. Why suddenly less than before? Then you come to the sixth day of creation, and the Bible, Mrs. Eddy explains it through seven subtones. Why? Why suddenly seven? You come even to love, and only two subtones, two funny ones, not starting with mind and spirit, but subtone of truth and love. Why that? Well, perhaps you have asked yourself that question. And you were right to ask that question. But it's difficult, perhaps, to find an answer to it. And there actually doesn't exist, as far as I know, in the whole literature of the Dolly teaching, any explicit explanation of this. You only find here and there one or two paragraphs that give a general reason for it. But actually, to think it out and to reason it out is another question. And because there doesn't exist anything on it that is available in writing or on a tape that is available, I like to take quite a bit of time for this subject. You may not always be right there when I explain it. It's not so easy. It has taken me years of thinking about it, because John Dolly never explained it. He just said, you see, in the first day you have three subtones, and you know in the second also three subtones, and in the third, you had five subtones, because it has to take the subject to the point of life, and the fifth also, and in the fourth you have only four tones, because it gives you some kind of a calculus sense there. What can you do with it? You naturally, what can you do with it? This meaning, he stated a terrific problem, he didn't answer it specifically, and it is left to us to reason it out. So I like to do that quietly, but as I say, without really taking in consideration that I teach it to a class, you a class. I really have to teach it for future generations, and so not try to adapt myself if you get along with me or not. You may have wondered why there are these subtones. Three, then three, then five, five, four, seven, two. We make a joke and say this is the telephone number of God. And it's a shorter version than to say these numbers. Why do we say why this number of subtones? You say it because you know from your study as a whole that actually one can take an idea and always see an idea from all seven angles, from the point of view of all the seven synonymous terms. So that actually one would feel that each day of creation should be presented in seven subtones, and that it would give a real full concept. This is what we do generally when we are working with ideas, that we clarify the value of an idea by blending it with ideas of all the seven synonymous terms. And this is right, and this is good. And this is the way that the Bible mostly writes its stories, and it's the way that Mrs. Eddy mostly writes her chapters. Many books of the Bible are laid out in the 7 times 7. Many, many books. And you can see that in John Dorley's verbatim reports on the Bible. You will see, if you pick up, say, Samuel, you will see that he laid out Samuel in the 7 by 7. You can pick up other other books of the Bible, and they may be also be laid out in the 7 by 7. But you can also pick out books in the Bible that are not written 7 by 7, but that are laid out in the same way as the days of creation. That they are laid out, mind in 3 subtones, spirit in 3 subtones, soul in 5 subtones, etc. And you have also chapters in the textbook that are laid out that way, that have that kind of a structure. For instance, marriage has that kind of a structure. There are parts in the textbook that are laid out fundamentally in the days of creation structure. And so we have both. We have the 7 by 7 layout, and we have what we call the days of creation layout, which is the 3, 3, 5, 5, 4, 7, 2. And so you are right to ask, well, are we free, or were the writers free, to choose the one or the other? And if they were not free to choose the one or the other, what is the reason for choosing one and not the other? So this is first asking the fundamental question about these numbers of subtones. What is fundamentally, without going into detail, the answer to this question? The answer to this question is rather simple, rather obvious. Namely, if we lay out something, or if Mrs. Eddy or the Bible lays out something in the days of creation order, she wants to give us the periods of progress, so to say, which show a creative sense, the days of creation. Say, a sense of approaching in a creative way a subject. If something is laid out in the 7 by 7, then it is not a creative process, because every point is complete. If I have mind in the 7, then mind is complete. If spirit is laid out in the 7, then spirit is complete. Therefore, whenever a subject is laid out as presenting what is actually, then it is laid out in the 7 by 7, for instance. The terminology that we use to bring out this difference is from Mrs. Eddy, because at the end of the 7th day, you know that Mrs. Eddy talks about the numerals of infinity called 7 days, meaning that there are 2 classifications. Either they are infinite, or they are days, successive. Days are give a sense of a time sense in it, and developing sense in it, a stage by stage, which you cannot jump. The numerals of infinity are infinite, And therefore, in infinity, there is no creative process going on. And therefore, the numerals of infinity are always those that can be blended in the seven. The days of creation have a creative process and therefore always give the creative process of 3, 3, 5, 5, 4, 7, 2. Is that point clear? Huh? We have two different ways of structuring something. Either we do it from the point of view of being, which is the numerals of infinity, or from the point of view of becoming, which is the point of view of the 7 days of creation. So here we have first an answer that actually it makes a great difference if we are presenting a subject from the days of creation standpoint, or if we are presenting it from the point of view of the numerals of infinity, where there is no time sense involved in it. And you know how she says that these numerals of infinity are actually finally accepting the divine infinite calculus. You see? Therefore, in a calculus, you can calculate infinitely. Therefore, in a calculus, say, the value, what shall I take, the value 9, for instance, in a calculus, has many, many place values. It can be 7 plus 2 in a calculus. 9 can be in a calculus 12 minus 3. 9 can be in a calculus 3 times 3. 9 can be in a calculus 36 divided by 4. It's still 9. In the days of creation, 9 has only one place value, that between 8 and 10, and no other. Because 9 comes in a creative sense, in an ascending sense, after 8 and before 10. And that's its place there. Can you see the difference between counting up to 10 and between calculating with the numerals? And this is so in the days of creation that we calculate here not with numerals of infinity, but that we see the progressive step-by-step unfoldment, creative unfoldment of an idea until that idea finds its fulfillment.